In this episode of Kids Podcast, I get to share some wisdom with you about leading kids in your church and in your home. Because dealing with kids is work, hard work, and I want to give you the tools you need to champion the kids around you. You can learn more and support what's going on at rongaleministries.com. How can I have a good relationship with the people around me, specifically co-workers and other pastors and other parents and my spouse? How can I have a good relationship with people around me? And that's what we're going to talk about in today's podcast of Kids Podcast. And let's dig in. All right. So first, let's talk about fishing because I love my good fishing stories. And in fishing, I like to take other people with me. I like to go with other people, usually but one, maybe two. And largely the reason why I want to individuals to go with me is one, because it's safety. Because when I fall in and don't come out, maybe he can save my life. but two, there's always knowledge to be had when you have a partner. And so I try to have fishing friends for everything I do. Now, when I'm fishing for trout, I do not ask my bass friends to come with me. And when I'm fishing on a boat, I do not ask my wading friends to come with me, and so forth, because not all fishermen are created the same. It's very, very, very important. Not all fishermen are created the same. So when I go fishing, say, for trout, while standing in the water, I'm going to ask my trout fisherman who has his own wader system to come with me. Now, even that guy, he's not going to fish my exact same way. So before I'm even on the water, maybe even before I ask him, I have a good understanding and an assessment of who they are. I've audited all kinds of information about who they are before we get on the water. Because some fishermen like elbow room. Some fishermen do not like elbow room. Some fishermen want their own run. Some fishermen want to prospect. Some fishermen want to camp. Some fishermen want to talk while others do not want to even hear a sound. Some fishermen have secrets about their special lure, the superfly, as the trout and bait guys talk about. And some are happy to share, right? So not all fishermen are created equally. But ultimately, when I'm with a fishing partner, my goal is always the same. I want this person to continue being my fishing friend because one day I'm going to want to go fishing again and I want that fishing partner there. And maybe one day he wants to go fishing somewhere new and then he invites me to go fish. Right? That's what's going on. There are perks to fishing, but we're not going to talk about that today. There's perks to fishing with a friend. But what I want to focus on is having a good relationship with people, a good relationship with your quote-unquote fishing partner. The first step is understanding that not all people, not all fishermen are created the same. And so I've audited what kind of fisherman is with me. Now, while I'm fishing with him, because we're still talking about Kids Podcast and, yes, leading kids and being a parent, through my fishing analogy, because I do that a lot, because I love fishing, the first thing I will never do is I will never impede my expectations upon my friend. I will never be like, bro, you gotta do it my way. Bro, what are you doing? Bro, that's the wrong. That, bro, you need more of this or less of that or do it this way or that way. I will not do that. I will be quiet. Because when I start doing that, it's going to make them upset. They're not going to want to spend time with me or be my fishing friend. Make sense? Then the second thing I do is I am ready and willing to share my knowledge with them. They're going to see that I've caught 10 fish and they've caught none. Yes, sir. And they're going to be like, bro, what are you using? How are you doing it? Where are the fish at? And then I'm ready and willing to not only tell them exactly what I caught, how I caught them, and where I caught them. I am ready and willing to give them one of the flies I used. I am ready and willing to tie it on for them, to look at their rig and help them be successful. And I will tell them to cast there. In fact, take my spot, cast there, wait, do it a couple times, and then fish on, bro. I'm not going to be selfish and stingy because he's my fishing partner, and I want him to, remember, that's my end game, is I want him to continue to be my fishing partner on different days. This is not like I'm going to be secretive because he's going to tell the world. I mean, that's a different mission. Today is about the relationship, and when it comes to the relationship with those you work with, the relationship with those you are married to, I want to share my knowledge and wisdom with them when they need it or want it, right? I'm not going to impede it, but when they ask for it, I'm going to share willingly, right? The next thing I do is I am prompt to ask them specific types of questions. This is the type of question. It is, teach me why you are doing it that way so that I can learn. Because the reality is I'm not the best fisherman. Sometimes other fishermen are better than me. Sometimes we're pretty equal, but they know something that I don't know. And when I see them doing it differently, whether they're catching more or not, I'm like, hey, what are you doing there? I am interested in learning. Teach me. What is that? What are you? Why? Okay. And I want to learn from them. Now, am I going to like suck them dry and be a talkative person the entire time I'm working with them? No, but I am interested in being better because of them. And I want them to know that I'm learning from them. And I give them the opportunity to also invest in me. And then the last thing I do is I celebrate, right? I cheer, I root, I rejoice in their victories. You caught a fish? Yes, sir. Can I be your net man? Whoa, I got this picture for you. I got smiles. This may be your fifth fish and I've got one fish. This is probably the biggest fish and you are the man. Yes, I am celebrated and excited about what you have just accomplished. Let's post this on Facebook. Let's tell everybody that my friend caught an awesome fish. Right? So there it is, my fishing analogy. Let's contextualize this now into what this looks like as a leader or as a parent, right? Because I have coworkers that are also pastors that I work with. I have experienced volunteers. One of my volunteers is a physician that works with kids, right? They are just as good at leadership as I am. I do very little. One of my other leaders is a teacher in the school system for special education. Like, he knows way more about working with kids in certain realms, in certain ways, in certain far more than I, right? Even though I'm quote unquote the lead in kids ministry, they know things that I don't. They're just as experienced as I am. My boss comes. Say your boss is coming and he wants to help. He'd be a part of what's going on. Oh, man. There's a reason why he's with the adults. But what do you do when your boss wants to come and help be part of the kids program? Right? And when your spouse, not just your spouse in ministry, but your co-parenting at home, you're both trying to lead your kids to success. So what is this relationship with all these people? How can I have a good relationship with my coworker, my volunteers, my boss, and my spouse? That's the question. So let's contextualize this. Exactly, walking through my fishing analogy. One, I'm going to assess and audit the individual. Right, I'm going to be aware of their personality profiling. I'm going to be aware of their likes and dislikes, their preferences, you name it. I'm going to kind of get a good idea of what they like and don't like and be aware of that. And that's super important because if you got an individual that does not like to be bothered by a lot of talking, I am not going to approach them and just talk. I might say hi, might be cordial, but then let them get their job done in the way they want to do it. Perhaps you have a friend who does not like pranking and joking and those kinds of things. Well, I'm not going to then go up and prank them and joke them. It just makes them mad. Because ultimately, my goal, as we said before, is that through this relationship, that they continue to do the thing that they're doing. We continue to work together tomorrow. That's the ultimate goal, is that this good relationship garners me the favor that they want to continue to work with me tomorrow. This is especially true with your spouse. I want my spouse to continue to be my spouse tomorrow. So I'm going to assess and audit what they like, don't like, everything I can possibly think of. Even their views on certain topics. Like, they might be for a thing and you're not for that same thing, but I'm going to be aware of that thing so that when we talk about it, I am not surprised. Often we get mad about topics because we're surprised by their response. We're surprised by how they're taking it. And we're like, oh, I don't know. But wait, if I've already audited that information, I'm then prepared for the proper answer. It'd be exactly like fishing. It'd be like, I'm going to go fishing for salmon at the local pond. And then I get to the pond and I'm like, where are the salmon? Why am I not catching salmon? I'm only catching bluegills. I'm mad now because I'm frustrated. I know I'm bewildered. But then when I do my research, when I do the auditing, when I do the assessing, there are no salmon in this water. So now I'm not going to get frustrated and excited by the reality of no salmon in the local pond. Same thing. I'm going to audit and assess the relationships around me, what they like, don't like, so forth. The second thing is I reflect on the truth of I want this person to continue. I want this person to continue. Because even after you assess, even after you audit, you may not always agree. They may be just different individuals. Not all personality types work together. And if you're into personality profiling, you're going to find that there are 16 basic personality types. And some of those personalities work well together. And some of them rub the wrong way. And we know what we're talking about. We know that guy. And the goal is not that we need to rub, right? The goal is that, man, I want this relationship to continue and to continue to be good. So if I reflect on this reality, it allows me to be the grown-up, it allows me to be the big person, it allows me to be the leader, to back off, stay calm, and focus on the big picture, which is tomorrow we're still co-workers, tomorrow we're still married, tomorrow we're still leading kids into an overflowing life with Jesus. All right. Next, number three is do not be a Karen. We said earlier is don't impede your expectations on others. This is my definition of a Karen. The Karen that you see on social media and memes. Someone who comes up and they impede their expectations on others. Is it right or wrong? That's not the mission today. It's how do they go about the communication of that information. So don't be a Karen with your portion of the work. Don't be a Karen with your portion of the parenting. I'm sure we can think of it as a, you know, I had an individual once that I asked to come help me in kids ministry. And they came and they helped. They did an awesome job. I loved it. I wanted to use them more often. And then I scheduled them again. And then I had a coworker come in and was all like, bro, you're using my leader. I can't use him in my area if you're using him. And I had him first. And he was impeding his expectations on me. And so I had to kind of audit some information real fast so that I didn't lose my cool. And then I had to work with it. I ultimately chose to salvage the relationship rather than worrying about who was leading what. But ultimately, that moment made that individual a Karen that I didn't really want to work with a lot anymore after that. And so that's true in a lot of cases. If you're a spouse and you're always busting your spouse's chops, well, now I don't want to talk to you, or I do want to talk to you and it won't be kind. But ultimately, if I can get to the root of this, is don't be the kind of person that impedes your expectations in the wrong way. All right. We need to communicate information, not frustration. All right, let's go with number four. We're going to go knowledge management. Just like in the fishing analogy, I was ready and willing to share the bait, share the presentation, share the tack that got me that fish on the line. So the same is true with leadership, is knowledge management. And in knowledge management, it is all about sharing the proper information with the proper people at the proper time, right? And when you are in a relationship with coworkers, with volunteers, with a boss, and with a spouse, there are things that each of you need. And if you have it for the entire team to be successful, share it. Share it, share it, share it. Give them what they need to be successful. Give them what they need to do the job. Get them what they need for the team to go to the next level. Knowledge management. Sharing the proper information to the proper people at the proper time. All right, and number five is be willing to learn, because you are not the best in the world. And if you're watching soccer, and if you watch Leo Messi, he doesn't walk around like, I am the best. He doesn't take the PKs because he's the best. He doesn't do things like he's the best. He's willing to learn. He's willing to celebrate with others. He's willing to be humble and garner knowledge, because that's what leaders do. They have a winning, learning, growing mindset. And so with us, be willing to learn things from your coworkers, from your volunteers who work in the medical field, who work every day with special needs, who work elsewhere. What do they know that they can teach you? What can you learn from your boss, who in fact was a youth pastor back in the day, who has five kids, who is really wise with when it comes to making decisions on behalf of the entire church? What can you learn from that kind of individual? And what can you learn from your wife or your spouse? I can tell you now, I'm learning things from my spouse all the time. Guys, I got lucky. My wife is a champion. She's a superstar. She's like one of those hidden superstars no one knows about. When she starts to volunteer and help, they're like, whoa, hey, we want her on our team. Ron, you are so lucky. And I'm like, yeah, I know. She's all that in a bag of chips. I love her. All right. So be willing to learn from other people that you work with. All right. Lastly, celebrate. Just like we celebrate that your friend caught a big fish, you're going to celebrate wins with or for the people you work with. Your coworker started this band. Boom, celebrate it. Your boss was able to get this ministry thing up off the ground. Boom, celebrate it. This volunteer wrote a book. Boom, celebrate it. Your wife completed a task at home. Boom, celebrate it. Your husband, you know, got some more education from wherever. Boom, celebrate it. All right, celebrate, celebrate, celebrate. Be the cheerleader. Be the encourager. Be whatever. That's the kind of people that people want to be around, want to work with. So if you want to have a good relationship with the people around you, those are my tips. That's what I got for you. Because ultimately, when you are working with kids, you can't do it by yourself. No, sir. I mean, it happens. But still, even when you're a solo parent or a single parent, you still have other people that are helping you, like the teachers and the coaches and the grandparents, right? Your coworkers are on the same mission with you to lead kids into an overflowing life with Jesus. Your boss is in this mission with you to lead kids into an overflowing life with Jesus. These volunteers, they're in this mission with you to lead kids into an overflowing life with Jesus. Your spouse, she's definitely in this mission with you to lead your kids into an overflowing life with Jesus. And if you have healthy, good relationships with each of these individuals, man, they'll come back tomorrow and we'll keep doing it until these little people become big people and they're killing it for the kingdom. So that's what I got. If you have questions, type it in there. We'll make it happen. Until next time, everybody say, bye, Pastor Juan.
Thank you for letting us speak into your life. At the end of the day, our goal is simple. We just want to raise these little people to one day become big people. Be sure to check out our website at rongaleministries.com to show your support. Thank you for listening, and be sure to smash that like button and turn that button blue or whatever else the kids are doing these days. Until next time, everybody say, bye, Pastor Juan.